He was constantly getting threats, many of it through the mail, over the telephone. Some of it was in prison, as in Selma, Alabama. A man came up and struck him as he attempted to register at the downtown hotel where no blacks had ever lived before.
To your knowledge, was the Federal Bureau of Investigation aware of these threats?
Oh, yes, they were aware of them. We would report some of them. We did not report all of them because it became very apparent to us that the FBI had no intentions of doing anything about them. You see, so many members of the FBI were Southerners, racist Southerners, white Southerners. And just because you take a racist white man and put an FBI badge on him, that does not change their thinking and their heart one bit. It just makes them a federal personnel. Also, we knew Mr. Hoover's attitude, who was then the head of the FBI department. And he had called Dr. King the most notorious liar in the country. And I had visited with Mr. Hoover, and I knew his attitude toward Dr. King. And we would report for the record many of these threats, and nothing was done about it. We didn't see any investigations taking place. Nonetheless, for the sake of the record, we would report some of them.
Time of the gentleman has expired.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask unanimous consent to proceed for additional 10 minutes.
All right. Without objection, the gentleman is recognized.
Dr. Abernathy, did Dr. King ever allow his own personal safety to interfere with his divine mission to provide equal rights for all people?
No, he certainly did not. He was always concerned about equal rights for all people, and his personal safety became secondary. This is not to suggest at all that he wanted to become a martyr. He loved life and he wanted to live. But his commitment to the cause of Christ, this is what I call it. You may call it something else. His commitment to human justice, his commitment to the American dream was much more powerful and much more forceful than his own personal safety.
What was his position regarding his own personal safety then?
Well, he felt that if I am right, then God will fight my battles. The truth crushed to the earth will rise again. And that if a man has not discovered something that he's willing to die for, then that man is not fit to live. He also felt that freedom is costly, and that there will be no freedom unless there is suffering and sacrifice. But he believed at the very same time that there was power in redemptive suffering.
Dr. Abernathy, to your knowledge, did the Memphis Police Department and the Memphis office of the FBI have any information regarding the many threats made upon the life of Dr. King? The Memphis office of the FBI and the Memphis Police Department.
Oh, yes. The Memphis office of the FBI had some knowledge of some of the threats, because some threats had been made in Memphis, Tennessee, and the police department in Memphis. This is clear, seen very clearly by the fact that each time that we went into Memphis, there were two black detectives who were assigned to us while in the city of Memphis.
In view of the plane being searched in Atlanta, and in the many possible implications arising therefrom, and in view of the Memphis Police Department and the Memphis Office of the FBI being not only aware of the threats of Dr. King on Dr. King's life, but also that he was en route to Memphis, what police protection outside of these two police officers or with the FBI protection in Memphis was given Dr. King when he arrived in Memphis on April 3rd, 1968?
None.
Having made reference to the FBI, to your knowledge, was Dr. King acquainted with its then director, J. Edgar Hoover? You made statements that Mr. Hoover made in regards to Dr. King, but was Dr. King acquainted with him? Had he ever met him or talked with him or spoken with him about the threats personally?
Oh, yes. He had met Mr. Hoover and he talked with Mr. Hoover.
Do you have any opinion as to whether or not the FBI, through its director, Mr. Hoover, harassed and thereby attempted to impede the objectives of Dr. King? If so, explain.
Well, impede in the sense of seeking to destroy one's morale or esprit de corps or kill one's spirit. I don't know of them seeking to block any march or any demonstration, but to impede by bugging your hotel room and sending your wife a tape, which is supposed to have been some activities that may have taken place in your hotel room, to know that you are under surveillance, that somebody on every plane that you travel is there with you. Naturally, this would impede in some way, but I don't know of Mr. Hoover or the FBI standing in our way anywhere where a march was concerned or preventing us from going to jail if we sought to violate a law that we considered to be an unjust law.
Did you or your staff have any information which might lead you to believe that the director, Mr. Hoover, was communicating orders pertaining to Dr. King directly, verbally, and unofficially into the Memphis area prior to the April 4th assassination?
No, I do not have any information on that.
Dr. Abernathy, one last question and final question, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Abernathy, prior to Dr. King's coming to Memphis, and indeed at any time before his assassination, did you, or to your knowledge, Dr. King, or anyone on his staff, know that the official in charge of the Memphis Police Department was a former FBI agent who served 8 of his 25 years with the Bureau as inspector in charge of the personal office? And I repeat, sir, in the personal office of Mr. Hoover, the director of the FBI.
No, we did not know that.
Time of gentlemen has expired.